The sweet sound of sports you love from Sling. The collide of football pads. The squeak of shoes on a basketball court. The crack of the bat on a home run. The slice of skates cutting across the ice. But what about this one? That's the sound of all the sports you love, all at once. Starting at $40 a month. Experience it all live with Sling. Sling.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by John Donovan and Longhorn Wealth Management Group. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined each and every morning by Jerry Hamilton. But special guest today, CJ filling in for Bobby, as Bobby is heading to the SEC spring meeting. So I'm going to let
Poor guy goes to Sandestin.
Yeah.
It's a rough trip.
Tell folks what all he's going to be doing out there, Jerry.
Yeah. Well, he won't be on the beach. He's going to be listening to Greg Sankey, I believe, has a welcome address this afternoon. And then all the coaches, athletic directors, there's going to be guys speaking at this event. It'll kind of be a welcome to Texas and Oklahoma as well a little bit. But Bobby's going to be down there. He's going to be reporting on all of it live from Sandestin. He should get down there shortly after lunch today. I think Sankey speaks around 4:35, right around that time. But look, you'll hear from Steve Sarkisian, Brent Venables, Mike Elko, all those guys this week, and various athletic directors. So it's going to be a good trip for Bobby, good trip for On Texas Football. By the way, we had over 48,000 yesterday. So thanks to everybody, man, for their continued support of On Texas Football as we march quickly to 50 and then on to 100. But yeah, Bobby's down there on his way to Sandestin, and he'll be at the reporting from the SEC spring meetings the next two or three days here on Texas Football and on the texasfootball.com.
That's right. Okay, guys. Well, some big news yesterday, a big series this weekend, I guess I should start there. As number one ranked Texas Longhorn softball team hosted number 16 Texas A&M in the Super Regionals, and it was an absolute battle. A&M wins the first game. Texas claws their way back in the last two to win those. And it was anxiety filled, I guess, if you're a Texas fan. But the good news is they're heading to the Women's College World Series. I'm going to bring up the bracket here. And a tough task from the get-go as they face number 8 Stanford.
Director's Cup battle right out of the gate. Hey, but look, CJ, the win over A&M couldn't have been better. Yes, it was anxiety filled, but there's nothing better than ripping the heart out of your rivals.
Yeah, are you sure it was just anxiety filled? I thought that was a couple stress-free games at the end right there, Jerry. That series was very fun in the way in which Texas was able to come back down 4-5-1 in the fourth inning of game two to come back and win that game. Talk about ripping the hearts out of folks. I mean, A&M can't be too happy. And, I mean, talk about the SEC meetings going on right now. I'm sure A&M fans aren't going to be too thrilled hearing about the welcome to Texas or from Texas to the SEC after what happened this weekend. That's for sure.
Hey, by the way, A&M can get their revenge if Texas gets thrown into their baseball regional, by the way, today.
Yeah,
they'll get their revenge quickly on that one.
Yeah, in about less than 3 hours, we will know more about that. And, Dean, I do agree with you. They hit Reese three times yesterday, four in the series overall. But yeah, not a good look at all. But congratulations.
Craig Biggio will be sending the elbow pads that he used to wear for all those years soon. She'll be getting a package in the mail from Biggio's team of advisors.
Oh, man. Well, hey, let's get back to football, guys. Obviously, a lot going on. Let's start with recruiting, Jerry. I'm going to let you take it from there.
Yeah, you know, so guys wrapped up. The spring evaluation period, by the way, wrapped up last Thursday for the Texas staff. They've been out and about. KJ Lacy had a spring game recently, and we played some clips last night on our Longhorn live stream with Rod Babers and Bobby and myself. Wanted to bring these up again because we have obviously hundreds of more people that tune into different shows. But here's KJ Lacy, the spring game. Spring game clips, 12 of 15, 12 of 16. For 175 and three touchdowns against Enterprise, Alabama. One of the things I said last night about Lacy, well, there's two things. One, he's still listed at 5'11", 165 on various websites because he hasn't been, I guess, officially weighted at a camp. He was 186 pounds 2 weeks ago when I was there. And you can tell there, he's a thicker kid in his lower body. He's getting stronger. He could be a sophomore age-wise. So he's a young kid. He's grown about half an inch since he committed to Texas. One of the things I said last night was they lost four or five, I think all five offensive line starters from a year ago. So he's going to be called on to be more of a playmaker this year with his feet. He's going to have opportunities to be more of a playmaker. And I'm not talking running like this, but making plays outside the pocket, keeping plays alive, making throws off platform under duress. I think he's going to get a chance to show that complete skill set this year. For a well-coached team by Jeff Kelly there at Saraland High. Obviously, Ryan Williams at Alabama, too. He's got the weapons to throw it to and have a big year. Will the offensive line be able to come along enough for them to have like a deep, deep playoff run like they have the last two seasons, winning it in 2 years ago and losing a state title game this last year? But KJ Lacy, playmaker with the ball in his hand. He's got that gamesmanship. He's a former point guard. Turned a quarterback, and again, AJ Milwee was out to see him a couple of weeks ago on maybe last Monday, 2 Mondays ago, I should say. And then look, the June 1 elite camp's coming up, guys, and we're going to stay on the quarterback theme here. We got some questions we'll get to on the Colemans and various other things, who could be next to commit. But you know, I wanted to say this. I just posted something on nontexasfootball.com. Troy Hune and Dia Bell by the numbers. Both those guys were first-year starting quarterbacks. And why are we talking about Dia Bell and Troy Hune? Because June 1st is the elite camp. CJ, Blake, all the guys will be there covering this weekend. I won't be there Saturday. My son's graduating from high school Saturday, so I won't be in Austin. But it's a big day because I really think Steve Sarkisian, AJ Milwee, they're going to watch Dia and Troy one more time in person there, throwing all that elite talent that's going to be at the elite camp. And I really think based on that, you're going to see Texas make a push for one of these two guys, a big push to get them in the boat. And if you remember last year, that's when KJ Lacy committed to Texas. It was the day of the elite camp. They have the elite camp, then they have the pool party. KJ Lacy committed in between those events. So could something like that happen this week? We'll see. Right now, Dia Bell's got LSU scheduled for June 13th, 14th, I believe that is 2 days. But look, Texas is the first stop for both of those guys, and we'll see what happens. Dia Bell's one of the rare kids, by the way, and I mentioned this on the show before. He actually played in four games as a eighth grader for American Heritage High School. If your middle school campus, junior high campus, and your high school campus are on the same campus technically in the states of Florida, I think and believe that's what that way in Texas too, you could play varsity football in middle school. And he did that. He played 9 games. As a primary backup as a freshman to a Division I signee at quarterback. Both those guys were first-year starters last year. Mission Hills was 7-3 with Troy Hune. He had a really good season, 1,630 yards, 16 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Dia Bell, American Heritage, is very talented, 10-2. Will probably be a pick to play for at all this year with all the talent they have coming back. But they were 10-2 last year, and Dia Bell had a really strong season, 20 touchdowns. 4 interceptions. So we'll see which way CJ Sark goes. But and then the elite camp list, I mean, it's going to be loaded once again.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to actually mention a little bit more about KJ Lacy in that pocket that he'll be kind of running from. I mean, I think that's a good trait to have early in high school. Get tested a little bit, understand what the feel and the instincts are in that pocket. We talked about Trey Owens, and one of the big strengths that he had at Cy Fair is, you know, he was kind of always on the run, and being that athlete wasn't always his game. But because of that, he always understood where pressure was. And we saw it in the spring game, his ability to step up in the pocket looked a little bit more mature for his age coming in as a true freshman this spring. So excited for that. And, of course, a long, lengthy list of 2026 and 27 visitors coming in June 1st for the official for the elite camp. A big one I was able to see this past weekend is Jason Bradford, a cornerback out of Temple. I was able to see him in action as well. I went out to his training session with BAM Performance, Bernard Blake, down here in the Austin area, one of the top Austin area defensive trainers in the entire state. Of course, he works with Jahdae Barron, Andrew Makuba, Michael Taft. And so as I was able to get out there, I also saw Jelani McDonald and Michael Taft in action. Got to talk to them a little bit. Had a great interview with both of them. Go check that out on the YouTube channel here as well. But just kind of picking their brains and what they thought about the ending of last season, their motivation to get back to where they were, what they've been working on this past season or this past offseason as well. As well as kind of picking their brains on what Andrew Makuba is going to bring to this table, as well as Kobe Black, who played with Jelani McDonald at Wake Connolly. So cool getting to spend the time with the two of them. Of course, Devin Lemire, the all Big 12 safety at Baylor, was in attendance as well. Really just getting to see how they compete and work with one another was really cool. And I was really fortunate enough to see them in action. It was cool, kind of getting an idea of what Jelani's been working on this offseason. So the game's really slowing down for him this spring, which is encouraging. Of course, coming in as a true freshman, you expect that to be very quick for guys like that. Jelani said slowing down. He's very happy with where he is in the safety room and moving forward. He's excited for what that room is going to bring to the table. Texas fans should be excited for these two.
All right, good stuff, CJ, for sure. Jerry, before we move on, why don't you tell folks out there about John Donovan and Longhorn Wealth Management Group?
Yeah, thank you very much to our sponsor of today's Coffee and Football. That's John Donovan, president of Longhorn Wealth Management Group. John is a proud Texas X's Life member whose wife and all six siblings are also University of Texas graduates. This explains why John has branded his firm Longhorn Wealth and has dedicated his firm to providing total wealth management for Texas alumni, employees, family, and friends. John is a certified financial planner with over 30 years of experience and wants to offer every OTF member and fan a free 90-minute consultation on how to explore how Longhorn Wealth can help you and your family maximize your wealth, minimize your taxes, and secure your own financial future. So simply call the Longhorn Wealth team at 972-707-4900 or schedule an appointment online at www.longhornwealth.net. Again, that number is 972-707-4900. Thank you very much to John Donovan, president of Longhorn Wealth Management Group, for his continued support of On Texas Football.
All right, we do want to thank him for sponsoring each and every Monday right here on Coffee and Football.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
And guys, well, the players report back here soon. So, yes. I mean, football is just never ending, especially at the University of Texas. And I know, we'll get into more of that here in a minute, but I wanted to show this video that Isaiah Bond had posted on his Twitter before we really deep dive into that.
Yeah, there you see Bond, a strong athlete, man. Really strong-looking athlete. Obviously, he's going to be a one-year player at Texas off in the NFL. But we talked about this, the May period of time is not like vacation hanging out. I mean, guys are putting in a lot of work. There's guys on vacation as well. But these guys are putting in work. They're getting valuable time with whoever their trainer is, whoever they're close to. But Isaiah Bond is coming with a purpose this year, and that purpose is that be a first or second round NFL draft pick, and I think he's going to have a really big year in Texas. Some of the other guys we talked about, Javion Cole reports to Austin tomorrow on the 28th. Bill Norton, Jermaine Lole, some of those guys will be. Silas Bolden's already in Austin. Then you have your four high school signees who will be getting to Austin pretty quick here. That's Santana Wilson out of Desert Mountain in Scottsdale. That's Melvin Hills out of Lafayette Christian Academy in Lafayette, Louisiana. That's Michael Kern, the punter who we had on Texas Football recently with Rod, Coach Shipley, and CJ. He's out of St. Thomas Aquinas in Fort Lauderdale. No talent there at all, ever. And then Nate Kibble, the shortest drive of all of them from Atascocita, who has put out some pretty good offensive linemen over the years. I mean, you're talking talking about multiple NFL picks, Kenyon Green, Sam Cosmi, Cam Dewberry at A&M right now is a talented kid. If he puts it together, and Nate Kibble, who looked tremendous physically walking into the spring game with his mom, by the way. He didn't get talked about a lot since he went an early enrollee, but Nate Kibble's put in good work in the offseason. He looks good physically, CJ. So that's eight new players that'll be entering the program here. And when do workouts start, CJ? First week in June, correct? Right after elite camp, I believe.
Yeah, June 2nd. Those boys will be out there. I believe they're going to start again with the afternoon workouts to begin summer conditioning. Of course, that was the schedule last year where you'd see the practices and conditioning begin around 1:30 to 2 p.m. That carried all the way through June. And, of course, pick back up for fall camp, get those guys ready for the conditioning that went into the season. Of course, Texas starting the season at 2:30 p.m. kickoff. It makes sense to get right for Colorado State by then because it's going to be hot. And these guys are going to be out there all summer long. But June 2nd, excited to hear some reports and, of course, see how these guys return back with their, you know, body shifts, you know, kind of see what kind of weight has been shifted around for some of these guys since the end of spring football.
And I think June, July is going to be obviously huge for that. We're going to see a lot of guys. It'll be interesting to look back at the height, weight, the roster Texas put out for spring and see how it changes in August. There's definitely going to be some guys drop 8-10 pounds. By the way, Tracy Jackson, yeah, I thought I was watching a Roland Garros there for a second. I thought I was watching a tennis match. Isaiah Bond was getting after it there. All right, Blake. But, yeah, the guys are report June 2nd. Obviously, to reset the show a little bit, Bobby is en route to Sandestin, poor guy. We just hope his car makes it so he gets 3 days in Sandestin. Now he's going to the SEC spring meetings. Greg Sankey speaking this afternoon. Obviously, Steve Sarkisian, all the coaches make an appearance there, athletic directors. It's the first event for anybody that covers Texas at the SEC spring meetings with Texas actually becoming an SEC member. That celebration, by the way, is June 30th in Austin. We'll have more on that as it gets closer. But welcome to the SEC summer celebration by the University of Texas, June 30th, with events all around campus, in the stadium, around campus. So that's going to be a big, big, big weekend in Austin. And Bobby's there to kind of cover it. And he'll be bringing back all the news to On Texas Football here and on.com as well. So he'll join us for some shows. He'll be back in the morning. He just had to travel this morning. He'll be back the next few mornings here the rest of the week reporting from the SEC spring meetings.
So let me ask you this. We're going to go back, you know, to the players reporting, obviously. Who, in y'all's opinion, needs to have a big summer when it comes to the Longhorns?
Yeah, you know, CJ, I'll let you go first. I'll say Sadir. He needs to have a big summer. I think you look at some of the younger offensive linemen as well getting stronger, right? I mean, you saw some of those guys in the spring game. You saw some highlights from those guys. Then you said, okay, these guys are still in their development phase. They need to get stronger. You know, Trevor Goosby will continue to get stronger. He was eight when he committed to Texas, or at the spring of his junior year, 268 pounds. He's put on 50 pounds. Everything's catching up right now with him. He'll continue to get stronger, those young linemen. Obviously, the focus is on the defensive line. I think some of the linebackers, CJ, continue to add strength and weight to their frame as Texas moves to the SEC. And I think the young safeties, too, continuing to build out those frames. Because the reality is, CJ, Texas is going to play more players this year, especially on defense. They're going to play that depth. They're going to build that depth with a 12-team playoff and one loss, not ending your season anymore. In the hot days coming up here, hot games in September, Texas is going to play more players on defense than even they did a year ago.
Yeah, of course, I think Sadir is the obvious answer after coming in this spring a little bit heavier than what everybody expected. Sarkisian mentioned it in a press conference as well. Just getting back to what Texas expected him to be at. Of course, he's been working up in New Jersey back home this offseason as well after spring ball concluded. So looking to get back to where he was, of course, that would be a big piece in the middle of that defensive line. I'm going to go with Colton Vosick and Colin Simmons. I think both of them flashed in the spring. If you're able to add or at least continue the momentum and where your body is at the moment going into fall camp, that would be big for the Texas edge room. Of course, with Burt Burrell, Trey Moore now, you expect that room to be better. If you can certainly add to the depth with a Colin Simmons or Colton Vosick and have them up to speed with the SEC caliber of offensive lines that they'll be facing, that would be huge. Another guy I wanted to mention, you mentioned linebackers, Jerry, in terms of where they need to fill out, Ty'Anthony Smith. I heard great things about him this spring. Jelani McDonald mentioned him again as a guy who should be on Texas fans' radars. You know, a little bit of an under-the-radar, kind of underrated right now. Of course, he only weighed in around 200 pounds originally after coming in as the spring early enrollee. If he can get up to about 215, I'd feel comfortable about where he's going in his kind of trajectory as a linebacker in the SEC. Of course, everything in his game points to a guy that can play at this level. It's all about getting that body right. And to me, he's a guy that Texas would certainly benefit from in that linebacking room after the departures of Kendrick Blackshear and Samaje Burrell. Adding to that depth would be huge.
Yeah, I would say also, you mentioned the edge position. Colin Simmons, I think continuing to add that strength, a little bit more weight to his frame. A big one, man, is keeping some of these guys healthy throughout the spring. You know, the UT boy, good morning, by the way, said he believes the emergence of Colin Vosick, is crucial. I agree for depth-wise in the SEC and then the schedule Texas is playing. You want to hear about Vosick continuing to stay healthy this summer as well. No jinxes here. Stay healthy. Somebody's asking what Sadir playing weight, ideal playing weight. I think if you can get him the 335, and I'm not sure you can. He's a large human. 340, 345, which would be about 25 pounds less than what he was on the spring roster. He's 372, so 27 pounds, 30 pounds less. I think if you get him in a 340, 345 range, just seeing him in person over the years, I think that's going to be his ideal playing weight with that frame and kind of the way that his body is built.
Jerry, would you sign up for a Pilates classes with Colton Vosick and David Benda? They've been doing it this offseason. They've got some attraction from the offensive line as well. Looks pretty tough. I ain't gonna lie.
Look, the hardest thing I've ever done in my life is what's called core evolution. One of my friends, when I lived down in Jupiter, Florida, he's a workout warrior, has like an 8-pack at 54 years old. He was like, "All right, you're gonna come do this with me once." And that was Pilates with resistance. And I think I was sore for 3 weeks. So I'm going to pass on that at 49 years old because I like to walk. And I don't want to have non-walking days at 49.
Oh, man.
By the way, if anybody really wants to challenge themselves and think as a dude thinks, oh, I'm the man, David Keith Williams, I know he's a guy that runs every day, jogs every day. Go try Core Evolution a couple, three times. I'm just here to tell you, it will give you a different outlook.
Well, speaking of David Keith Williams, he says Sadir Mitchell and Alex January are the two most important players for the Texas defense to play at their best. The Longhorns absolutely need consistently good nose tackles. Y'all's thoughts?
Yeah, they absolutely do. Of course, that's a huge position. That's probably the largest drop-off of what any other position on this team will face from 2023. Luckily, Texas added a ton of experience. They added a ton of depth, those three guys out of the portal this year, two of them coming in right now. So what we saw in the spring, the results that we saw in the spring, not exactly an indictment of what we will see in the fall, of course, because you added Jermaine Lole, a guy with a very high ceiling, battled some injuries a few years ago. But if you can get him healthy and keep him on the field, that's a big-time player, Jerry. He was on draft boards not too long ago and certainly looking to return to that level of play. And, of course, Bill Norton. You don't have that kind of body right now in this room that has had experience. Of course, you expect Sadir Mitchell to get to that point. You expect maybe and Aaron Bryant to contribute at the nose, maybe an Alex January as well as a true freshman. But right now, Bill Norton, a guy that played over 300 snaps a year ago for a top 20, top 25 defense in the country, That's a piece that you can certainly expect to be on the field very often for the Longhorns next year as an anchor in that line. So, yes, it would be huge for both of those guys to get on the field, get reps, and contribute. But at the end of the day, Texas is going to I don't want to say be just fine, but I think they're going to be more well off than what fans expect at this moment because of the depth on that offense or that defensive line at the moment. Being able to rotate, keep those bodies clean, and, of course, have guys with experience is going to be big time going into 2020.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Yeah, look, I'm big on Alex January's future. I think he's going to be his trajectory from junior to senior year. Already making a move in the spring. I think it's all right there for Alex January. I think he's driven. I think, look, when he was playing baseball in high school, nothing wrong with that. It probably set him back a little bit as far as his physical development. When he gave that up, he made a big jump junior to senior year. That spring of his junior year when I was at Duncanville looked like a stronger, quicker, more confident player lining up next to Colin Simmons. Then, again, he went out and got district defensive MVP in a district with, 50, 60 Division I players in it every Friday night or on the field. That includes Elijah Barnes, Colin Simmons, Abrams, the edge linebacker at DeSoto, all those defensive backs, all the other D linemen. So Alex January, he's going to be a really, really good football player. I think the best thing for Alex January is see the field a little bit, get your feet wet, contribute a little bit to a really good team, but also develop for a year with Kenny Baker. Kenny Baker's a tremendous pass rush coach. And that development with some older players in front of you, I know that guys want to rush to get to the field, but I think that's going to be a great thing for Alex January. Hey, by the way, Zane Petty, I am going to bring this up because we have to bring it up. Two best closers on one team. There you go, Kyrie and Luca. I mean, you can be tied with 3 minutes to go and just hand the ball to those guys and you play go get a shot. And it's not go get a shot, it's go make a shot. And they're up 3-0 and they're going to be barring a major injury or 7 or 8 Mavericks getting hit like Derek Lively did in the back of the head and neck last night. The Mavs are going to go to the NBA Finals and looks like they're going to play the Celtics in what should be a hell of a series.
Hey, you know, you were talking about Kenny Baker. So let me ask you guys this. What, in y'all's opinion, would be considered a good first year for Kenny Baker? What would make you step back and be like, you know what, that guy's got it going on at this spot?
If everybody looks, everybody's going to say run defense, run defense, run defense. I look at pass rush, hits on quarterback, sacks. Texas is a team at 32 last year. Because remember this, Kenny Baker also works with the edges on pass rush. I mean, there's videos out there. He is the pass rush coach at the University of Texas. So I think they see in the Texas numbers, sack numbers, get to that 39-40 area, which is a 7 or 8 improvement from a year ago, I think is crucial for Texas. If you're not going to be as good in the interior against the run, and you're not. You lost a first and second round pick, right? Rod Babers was talking about that last night, the year they lost Sean Rogers and Casey Hampton. They were better at edge. They were better at some other positions, so there wasn't a big fall off defensively. Texas actually had some better teams as Mac was building the program. I could see the same thing happening with Texas this year in that regard, but it's going to be pass rush. It's getting hits on quarterbacks, sacks, making quarterbacks feel the pressure. I think there's and I love, you know, the numbers that CJ reports on, PFF puts out, the hurries numbers. To me, that's different from hits and sacks. You want quarterbacks to process to be sped up naturally as a game goes on because you hit them and they know they're going to get hit if they don't get the ball out of their hand. That helps your secondary. That helps your defense as a whole. I think that's going to be the whole key for Texas. So to answer your question in a very long-winded fashion, Kenny Baker is a pass rush coach. It's the returns there for Texas, getting those sack numbers up to 39-40 with more talented edges, and Kenny, who's really good as a pass rush coach.
CJ?
Yeah, I mean, I like that, Jerry. Of course, in the run game, you're going to be helped out by two very athletic linebackers with a great deal of speed. You talk about David Benn and Anthony Hill and what they bring to the table as well. Cleaning up the mess, filling holes, running sideline to sideline, that's kind of their MO. What's going to be big for Anthony Hill and what's going to help this this run defense is, can he fit run holes right away? And I think that was a bit that he struggled with early on last year. True freshman, kind of understanding where the reads, where the instincts are going. Now I think you're going to see him come to that next step in his game this year as a sophomore on the field in the SEC. Of course, that's going to be big for the Longhorns because you're going to have the bodies to eat up room, maybe not make the plays that we saw a year ago. Luckily for Texas, they're going to have an experienced linebacker with David Benda. You're going to have another guy eager to get back on the field with Leon Galafau. Of course, Mo Blackwell's had his experience as well, and now Anthony Hill is going to be that piece in the middle that you look to, hopefully with the green dot as well. We'll see exactly where that goes when fall camp comes rolling around, but Anthony Hill to me is going to be a big part of that defense, big part of that run game. I think Texas has the bodies enough to be more than capable of having a good run defense. I think right now it's going to be more helpful for the linebackers to come in and lay their hat on a couple cats before pointing the finger at the defensive tackles if that run game leaks out a little bit.
Hey, I want to respond to this real quick. Like, if Texas jumps from 32 to 45 to 48 sacks, that means they probably win 11-1 in the regular season. I would say that. That would be a huge jump. And that would be a crazy number for this Texas team. Zane, I'm not saying they can't do it. What I'm saying is, if you get your wish, Texas probably went 11-1 in the regular season. That's a big number of sacks in a college season. That's like what the national champions, some of those teams, the Clemsons, and the Georgia's first national title, not their second national title, some of Nick's teams, they've all hovered in that 43, 45, 46, 48 area.
Well, guys, you're watching Coffee and Football presented by John Donovan and Longhorn Wealth Management Group. Please get your questions in. We're going to start taking those now, and we're going to start here with this super chat from Jack. Jack, thank you as always. He says, Jerry, great interview with the Colemans. I predict Isaiah will be a rotational player by his junior season. Kid has that chip on his shoulder that Coach Shipp always talks about. They seem like great kids.
Great kids. I love that. The thing I loved about, for people that don't know, I did that interview on Tuesday afternoon. Obviously knew they were going to commit to Texas. Didn't know the exact when. They were still deciding that date. It ended up being Saturday. But we went ahead and shot that video because it was done. There's a big win over Oklahoma because Oklahoma wanted Devin and Jordan Coleman on the offensive line. Those were two top targets for Beeden Ball. So that was a big win. But what I loved about the interview that's on Texas football is, you know what, Isaiah had offers. He could have gone to UTSA, he could have gone to Tulsa, he could have probably gone to SMU. There's some other places he could have gone, right? But it was important as a family that they stay together, they compete together. And obviously the travel's easier with having three kids at the same school, right? Instead of having to choose on Saturdays, sending one parent one way, one parent the other way. But I just love the competitiveness that you saw the love, but also the competitiveness at the same time. And I tend to agree with you on Isaiah. If he can carry 300 pounds, it won't shock me if he doesn't become a sixth guy in the rotation on the defensive line because he has a motor. And we're always – the one thing we'll always do in this industry is we'll always underrate motor on D linemen if they don't have the desired height and weight coming out of high school. We're always going to underrate the motor. That's what happened. And I'm not saying he's going to be this level, but that's what happened with Byron Murphy. That's why he was a high 3-star, low 4-star, instead of probably mid 4-star. He's 6 foot, 275 coming out of high school. Great motor. Brandon Brown, I think, is being underranked in our industry right now because of those same things. But Isaiah Coleman has a really good motor. And I thought those kids are going to be a blast. Texas fans are going to love them. Devin Coleman has an alpha personality. Isaiah Johnson, like he said, the first triplet's the smallest, he jokingly says. So he has to speak up. He has to speak his mind. He has a great personality. And Jordan is he's not quiet by any means. He may be the most quiet of the three, but he's also 6'5", 360, and probably calls the shots when the camera's not on. So
they have great personalities, Jerry.
They're awesome.
I remember talking to them, was it April 6th after their visit to Texas, and just getting, you know, that quick interview, that quick time with them after the visit. I mean, it's easy to see why, you know, the college coaches love them, you know, folks love them on the field, but then you get to meet them a little bit. Those personalities are a lot of fun. Those guys like to have fun. They can crack jokes at anybody. I think they're going to be great locker room guys as well. Of course, when you add three brothers, certainly easy to walk in and say, all right, you know, we outnumber just about everybody in here. But no, they're going to be awesome additions. I'm really excited and happy for them. They'll be really cool for Longhorn fans to get to watch them grow and develop over the next couple of years.
And Trey Day, Isaiah's going to be a preferred walk-on, which is also really cool for him and his family. Obviously, two guys on scholarship, and they'll make the NIL money to make up for that. That's pretty easy. I'll say the other thing about those guys. They've played against as high a level of athleticism competition as you can in Texas. So when you watch tape of those guys, when you turn on their huddles as Texas fans, I mean, look at the people they're playing. It's Duncanville. I mean, Jordan Coleman went up against Colin Simmons. Devin Coleman, those guys, they went up against Alex January and Colin Simmons. The Edge Abrams at DeSoto. They went up against all that speed and quickness and quick twitch guys on the defense, defensive line, edges, linebackers, Elijah Barnes at linebacker in that district, all those defensive backs. Then there's Isaiah and Devin, both defensive linemen as well. Devin's transitioned the more offensive line, but he'll still play some defensive snaps this year. Those guys go up against Byron Washington's of the world, all the Division I offensive linemen Duncanville has. And the crazy thing, you call it the District of Doom, right?
Yep.
Cedar Hill went 10-4. Went to the region final last year, and that is the third-place team in the district. Duncanville, DeSoto win state championships. And I'm here to tell you, I was at Cedar Hill again, obviously, last Tuesday, watching a little bit of their athletic – they were playing basketball, right? It's in the school. They were hooping. But they have a kid, Brister, I believe his name is. It's a freshman that played running back at 6'3", 270. Who will be a defensive lineman in the Henry Melton mold, right? But he's going to be a D lineman earlier starting next year. But they have some young edge D line guys. They have some big kids in the Cedar Hill program. They're very good, and they're going to be very motivated because they look to the east and they see DeSoto and Duncanville and the state championships won. But those guys play against top-level competition. And we haven't talked about it really because we always talk about the size of these guys, 6'5 and a half, 360, 6'4 and a half, 315. And Isaiah, they're 6'2, 275. But that's two more DFW wins over Oklahoma.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
So just putting it out there. Two more DFW wins for Texas on I-20 in this recruiting class. And look, you saw the interview I did with DeCorian Moran on Texas football. I think Texas is in a pretty good spot there. You're going to have to battle Ohio State and Oregon till that announcement in July or August. It'll be a big announcement at Duncanville High School, I believe, just like Colin Simmons had. But you look at that DFW, we talk about it all the time. Jonte, UT guy, Jonte is putting in work. Jonte, a DeSoto guy. Cam Williams about to be drafted in a year or two out of Duncanville. Colin Simmons, Alex January. You go down the list. Texas now added a couple of guys from Cedar Hill as well. Three guys. Two of those guys they beat Oklahoma on. So Texas continues. Jeff Banks, Chris Gilbert, all those guys continue. Kyle Flood to have some really big wins in the DFW area and especially on I-20.
Yeah, I actually wanted to mention this comment by Trade. You know, it's fun – you know, maybe it gets a little tiring at times, Jared. We go out, we see these kids, and we watch them in action. You say, all right, they could play. You know, they're rating and where they're ranked at the moment. Probably not indicative of the player that they will be or currently are at the moment. And you start seeing Texas load up on some offensive line commits. Of course, Jackson Christian, you have the Coleman twins now, triplets. And you start looking around and you're like, all right, maybe these ratings are a little low, or maybe these three-star guys are what Texas is filling up on. What's kind of the deal there? And right now I wanted to kind of point out, you know, the track record of Kyle Flood and Bill Biedenball are amongst two of the best in the entire country. If those are the two coaches that are going out recruiting you and hoping to get you on campus, maybe that three-star is a little misleading in terms of where they actually view each other on the big boards, of course, and what they could project to moving forward. I think the other thing I wanted to mention is, you know, Cole Hudson stepped on the field immediately as a true freshman, a guy that wasn't as highly rated as some other guys in his class, was immediately a big-time player for the Longhorns right away, working to get back into the rotation right now, obviously, as well. But then you look at other guys. Jake Major sitting around right now. Was Blake the ESPN top 100 players in college football? He was number 86. That's development. Christian Jones, where he was 3 or 4 years ago to where he was last year to get drafted in the fifth round to the Cardinals, development. So right now, you have the luxury of having guys come in and not needing to be instant impact guys right away. That wasn't always the case for Texas over the last 10, 15 years. Now, because you have 17 bodies on the offensive line room, you can say, all right, three-star coming in, that's fine. We see the tools. We see the projections. 2 to 3 years from now, when it's time for you to be physically ready after a couple of off seasons and spring football seasons, now it's time for you to come back in, and that rating won't matter anymore because they're going to be college athletic or college athletes with experience, with weight room, and of course those bodies are going to be completely different while having that drive and maintain the ability to work behind the scenes. So I'm not too worried by that. Trust the evaluations. They've done a tremendous job so far on hitting guys that they've added over the last couple of years. And certainly when it comes to those two coaches going after similar prospects, they have a good eye for what good talent is.
Yeah, and I would say this, and I totally agree. And on the Colemans, look, here's a couple of things with them. It's a great offensive line year in Texas, right? Fasusi's been a high-end guy for a while. Ty Haywood's been a highly ranked guy for a while. I think he made me a little time. But there's tons of depth on the offensive line in Texas in 2025. So some of those guys are going to be ranked a little lower just because of that. But just think about this with Jordan and Devin Coleman. Texas, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Ole Miss. You can visit all those places. All of them wanted them. I mean, so if those are high three-star guys, they may end up being low four-star guys, you take those guys all day. They're wanted by multiple SEC programs that are winning football games. So, that, like you said, and then there's the Biedenball, and then there's the Flood factor of that as well. But, look, if those are your four choices, you're pretty much a four-star ranked prospect or a four-star level prospect. Wherever you're rated may not matter as much.
Before we move on, y'all, I need to tell folks out there about one of our newest sponsors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with Father's Day right around the corner. What do you give to the man who has everything? It's easy. You give him an experience he's never going to forget. You give him Omaha Steaks. The Father's Day experts at Omaha Steaks have made it easy to put a smile on the big guy's face this summer with hand-selected gift packages starting at just $89. Just go to omahasteaks.com, use promo code ONTEXAS at checkout, and they're going to give you an additional discount when you shop gourmet gift packages for Father's Day. With Omaha Steaks, the possibilities are endless. Endless flavor, endless variety, and endless value. Truly, they have perfected more than steak, and your dad is guaranteed to love every bite. Go to omahasteaks.com, use promo code ONTEXAS to get those exclusive savings. Shop for unforgettable gifts that are guaranteed to make your Father's Day special. Because if there's one thing that Omaha Steaks knows, it's that dads want steak. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code ONTEXAS at checkout to save on exclusive packages starting at just $89. And we want to thank them for being a sponsor.
Hey, Blake, I have a key question. How much of yours is left from the samples they sent? There's none.
No, I think the chicken, and that's about it. So, yeah, it was really good.
I was out of town this weekend, but mine will be gone by, I don't know, Thursday.
So, yes, I can attest. Very good stuff. I actually used that as a Father's Day gift on my dad a few years ago, and he loved it. So I can definitely attest that. It's good stuff for sure. Well, speaking of good stuff, guys, we do have another super chat here. This one from Trey Day. Thank you, Trey. He says, I rarely get an opportunity to watch the show live, so I wanted to show y'all some love. Y'all are the best in the business, not just the best in Texas. Hook 'em. Thank you, Trey.
Thank you very much.
That's good stuff for sure. And, you know, we were talking about the Coleman twins. That made everybody happy when they committed. Texas fans always giddy when a commitment comes in. So E. Kim wants to know, guys. He says, good morning from Milwaukee. Can we expect more joy this week?
You look, James Simon announces May 29th. So we'll see what happens there. Texas is a heavy favorite. I think CJ and I would probably both send a text. Say, can't believe that one if he didn't go to Texas. But these guys have to. They do have to announce their own decisions, and we'll have that one covered, obviously. So that's before June 1. I think the elite camp, that June 1 date's going to be very interesting in the days after that at the quarterback position with Diabel and Troy Hoon. See who Texas really pushes for and see how quickly that guy makes a decision, because I don't think it'll take a long time. I think whichever way Sark pushes, I think that decision will come pretty quick, and I'm not guaranteeing June 1 day of, but CJ, I don't think it'll go very long on one of those two guys, whoever Texas pushes for.
No, I'm with you, and we've seen that in previous cycles as well. Arch Manning committed in June. KJ Lacy committed in June. Now it feels like Texas is on track again to add a June commitment from a quarterback with whoever the staff chooses between the two on campus. That list is looking pretty good, Jerry. We'll have an updated look at who's coming in. Of course, over the weekend, I was able to confirm a few names. Jason Bradford, the Temple quarterback, 6'3", coming in, can move very well. Landon Barnes, Duncanville 2026 edge, coming in. And an interesting one to me, Montre Jackson, cornerback at a Lakeview Centennial up in the Garland area. Yep, sure can. 10 offers at the moment. Oklahoma, Baylor, Houston already have thrown their hat in the ring. A guy that's coming to Texas right now this weekend, June 1st. Looking like that list is going to continue to grow up to about 40 names right now. We'll have that updated on Texas football right after the show here.
And we're going to stay with the recruiting questions for a little bit, fellas. Kevin Johnson says, what's going on with corner safety and edge recruiting? Who is the staff going prioritizing the most?
Yeah, so at corner, Dorian Brew, Aiden Anding, Caleb Chester. For sure. Devin Williams, the Auburn commit, who's scheduled to come in June 21st through 23rd, is a wild card. He's out of Buford, Georgia, wild card. He visits Auburn the week before. He's never been on campus at Texas. Dorian Brew will be in June 7th through 9th. Aiden Anding's the 21st through 23rd. Caleb Chester's the 7th through 9th. Texas, they tried to get Adonis Curry in from Quartz Hill for a while there, but he committed to that's Lancaster, California, NorCal. He committed to A&M over the weekend. So A&M now has Adonis Curry, Kobe Sellers at corner, and Jamar Beal Goins at corner. So just know that A&M has three corners already in the fold. So Caleb Chester, really good news there for Texas. I think Cade Phillips from Hightower at safety. Texas will still make a run at Jonah Williams. I think they're behind there. But I think watch out for Cade Phillips. I think that's Texas or LSU. And I think there's some Texas push there. Does Cade prefer corner? He probably prefers a chance at corner at next level. But I think ultimately he's a defensive back. And then edge will be very interesting to me. Obviously, Lance Jackson, one of the tops in the country, is already committed. I think he could end up a five-star guy in this class. By the way, I think if he's at – no offense to Coach Gibson, Texarkana, Pleasant Grove, just not a lot of people go to Texarkana, Pleasant Grove High. I went up there a few weeks ago. If he was at Duncanville and North Shore, he'd be ranked a five-star prospect. Is it right? Nope. Is it the way it is? Yeah. Then you get to Hayden Lowe out of California, out of Oaks Christian there in Westlake Village. I think Texas loves Hayden Lowe. Strong competition, Miami, Oregon, some others there, USC. But he would be one. Then Smith Orogbo out of Hastings. Saw him a couple of weeks ago. Had an interview on Texas Football. Was 6'4", 204 on his junior huddle. He's now about 218, 220. I think Texas, Oklahoma, the top two. Close to home is preferred. If Texas handles that recruitment well, academics are huge with the parents. I'm not even sure they care about talking football. They love academics. Smith very much cares about football. There's Smith Orogbo. And as we watch him, just know, I mean, this guy is – what you love about Orogbo is the natural twitch, change of direction, ability to bend. He has an 80-inch wingspan, 10-inch hands, just turned 17 mid-May. And really, this season he realized, oh my gosh, I actually have a chance to do this football thing. He didn't play a lot of youth sports growing up at all. In that interview, I don't know if that came across, but he said he played basketball in the neighborhood with some people, with his friends or whatnot, whoever he lived next to. But he didn't really even play football till high school. So this will be his fourth year, very similar to Michael Fasusi. This will be their fourth year playing football. But in the case of Orogbo, he's been even more of a late come in the recruiting world. He had 1.5 offers. I say 1.5 because I don't think one of them was committable entering his junior year. And now he's approaching 30 offers, but he has got that upside. I think naturally he may be the best pass rusher because of that bend and that twitch and that reactive quickness. And look, he doesn't technically, as a young player should, he has a long way to go. When he understands, look at that, shoulder pads above his ass. When he understands to get his butt above his shoulders, his get-off's going to be scary.
Yeah, I think when you watch him, Jerry, if he was a running back, you know, I always look at LeSean McCoy. His name on Twitter and Instagram was cut on a dime because that's what he would do, right? With running backs, you see the agility. You see the stop-and-go ability. You don't see that all too often with edge rushers. When you watch him, you see that ability to change directions, come to a complete stop and burst once again. And it all just looks seamless. It all just feels very smooth with the way that he moves. And that's not common with what you see with guys this raw at this age. So I love the idea of what he could become down the road. And certainly with where Texas sits at the moment, you have to like the idea of pairing him up with a Lance Jackson, potentially a Hayden Lowe. Of course, Marco Jones coming in June 21st through 23rd as well. That's a good group of edge rushers coming in at the moment. I'm excited to see where they go because you had two or three of those guys. That edge room continues to move in the that kind of momentum that we've seen over the last offseason with the additions of a Trey Moore, Colin Simmons, Azeno Umeozulu, who 6'5", 255 right now, looks really, really good. Eager to see where he goes in his development this year as a true freshman as well.
And now you're going to bring this up, Blake, the question from AJJ Sports. So
that's what I was doing next.
That's Javion Hilston. I think it's a long shot. But look, he's a kid who he started his high school career at O'Galley in Melbourne, was a teammate of Brandon Brown, moved over to Coco High, then committed to Florida State. We'll see what happens there. I think he's a good player. I'm not sure he's a five-star. I've seen him. I'm not sure on that. I think he's a very good player, though. I'm not sure he has the upside Lance Jackson has, quite honestly. But good player, puts up big numbers there at Coco. Coaching staff does a good job at Coco. The head coach there is a former offensive coordinator at St. Thomas Aquinas when they had their best teams down there. But he's going to visit Florida this weekend, Javion Hilson, Florida, Texas, 7th through 9th, UCF the 14th through 16th, and FSU gets the last visit, the 21st through 23rd. So we'll see what happens there. But again, Texas, just keep putting shots on goal. I mean, that's the thing. Put shots on goal in California and Florida. Keep bringing as many of those guys as you can, in my estimation, in my opinion. And once you get to bringing in 5-6 guys from Georgia, you'll have this thing pretty much locked and loaded from a recruiting perspective where you want it. I mean, if you can bring in 8 to 10 Cali kids a year, get up to 8 to 10 Florida kids, 4 or 5 Georgia kids. If you start bringing in those numbers of guys for official visits every year, I think Sark will have this thing right about where he wants it, combined with the in-state talent. Recruiting is going to be easier on I-20 than I-10 for Texas long-term in Louisiana. Mess around a little bit. Johnny Nansen's going to have he's going to cover Las Vegas. So if there's a guy there that fits what they're looking for, obviously Landon McComber, the linebacker, coming in June. Arizona, if there's somebody that fits what Texas is looking for. I think if the more guys you bring in from Florida and the more of the very top guys you bring in from California, I think Texas is in business and recruiting as they have been.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Okay, guys, our next question here is going to come from Zane Petty. You know, we talked about KJ Lacy earlier. He said, I know KJ has put on some weight, but he's still concerned about his small stature. Y'all's thoughts on that?
I mean, you know, I get it. I mean, Bryce Young did okay, and I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Bryce Young, but, I mean, there's the college game is to Russell Wilson, 5'11", 200 pounds in college, right, at NC State and Wisconsin. By the way, Mack Brown passed on him. He wanted to go to Texas instead of Wisconsin, but we won't get into that today. So, yeah, I mean, it'll continue to be done. You're going to have guys that continue to kind of play above the 5'11 and a half, 6 foot, 195-pound frame they have because they're so instinctive. They move so well in the pocket. They know how to stay away from big hits. They understand the timing and how to play the position. They have great pocket presence. They have eyes in the back of their head. I think if they have all those qualities, those guys are going to continue to be really good college football players at the quarterback position. I mean, do you say, and I didn't bring up the name Kyler Murray because he was a total super freak athletically. So you don't bring him up in that conversation. That's not fair to other guys. But I think there's going to continue to be guys that are success stories that are 5'11 and a half, 6 foot, 195, 200 pounds. Not a lot are going to make it to the NFL, but a lot are going to be good college quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield.
Quarterback height to me, it doesn't mean as much as it did probably 10, 15 years ago. Of course, so the big thing for me with guys who are on the smaller side is when contact comes, are you able to brace yourself? Are you able to make it soft contact? And we see that at times at the pro level, whether it be a Kyler Murray or a Russell Wilson, being smart and when that clock, that pass rush clock expires, knowing when to go down, knowing when to take the self sacks that we know Quinn Ewers has kind of been, criticized for a little bit this past year, is taking care of your body and not taking the big hit, the big blindside blow from behind that left tackle. I'm excited again with KJ Lacy because I think he's continuing to grow. Jerry, you mentioned it, grew a half inch or so since his commitment to Texas. Lower body's starting to fill out a little bit. You watch the tape. He moves around very well. And I mentioned Trey Owens earlier today as well. The minute that you play behind an offensive line that isn't giving you all day to throw at the high school level is when you start to develop that sixth sense of when the pressure's coming, when that clock is running out, and when you need to make the move with your legs to get up the field or extend a play. And right now, that's going to be the next step for KJ Lacy in his game, is getting out onto the move, getting out of the pocket, and, of course, getting down the field with his legs and certainly finding ways beyond that to not take that vicious blow from a safety screeching down the alley or an edge rusher or defensive lineman coming up the middle or on the outside. So that'll be the next step. Of course, I'm a big fan of KJ Lacy and what he is as a thrower, as a facilitator at the quarterback position. I think he's a very high-ceiling guy at the moment.
By the way, there's some discussions on KJ Lacy's height. He's over 5'11 without shoes. He's not 6 feet yet. I was there 2.5 weeks ago. He's up to 186 pounds as well.
There you go.
There we go.
We're going to go to the other side of the football, guys. We got two questions regarding the same subject. So we're going to take both of those. David Williams says, Jerry Hamilton, are you willing to go out on a limb and give your opinion of the Texas 2025 defensive tackle class? What do you think the likelihood is that Texas gets Brown, Williams, Wynn, and Sharma? And then I'm also going to add this one from David Rawls. Who's your pick between those guys along with Zion, Charles, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, for me, I think there's five guys who I have higher as players, as prospects. Look, I think Brandon Brown's tremendous, committed to Texas. You got to hold on to him. I actually think the competition for him will end up being LSU and A&M. A&M, I think, will replace that USC official visitor, has a chance to. He goes to LSU this weekend, then Tennessee, then Texas. I have Brandon Brown very high. You don't know how high I am on him. And all these guys have to go get it done. I'm a big fan of Josiah Sharma. I'm a big fan of Myron Charles. I'm a big fan of Kevin Wynn. I really like Zion Williams as over the ball player. I think DJ Sanders needs some time. He's going to probably have to put him away for a couple of years and develop him. I don't think he's on the level as far as being able to come in and compete right away as some other guys are. I really like Derry Norris out of Spruce Creek. We'll see if Texas sets up an official visit there as well. I think he's an underrated kid out of the state of Florida. But those guys, for me, I think are kind of at the top Texas needs to get three of those guys in the class. That's where I come out on it. So Brandon Brown, Josiah Sharma, who's Alabama or Texas right now. Oregon is the third team they're going to official visit. But that'll come down to Alabama and Texas as of today. Myron Charles probably comes down to FSU and Texas, but he'll also visit Florida and Miami. Kevin Wynn, Florida State, probably the favorite over South Carolina, Texas, and Georgia. Watch how hard Georgia pushes now that Texas is in the picture for him there. I mentioned Myron Charles, Zion Williams. I think it'll be Texas LSU at the end of the day for him. Texas needs to win three of those. Then if they take a fourth as a more of a developmental prospect, I like Chase Sims out of Richmond Randall. We'll see if Texas makes a move there. DJ Sanders needs some time. He wouldn't be a bad fourth guy to take a developmental guy. But Texas needs to win three of those big-time battles, those guys who are a little bit, I think, higher-level prospects.
Hey, y'all. And then our next question here from T. Mattia. I hope I'm saying that right. He says, seems like we have more head-to-head recruiting battles versus Oklahoma than the Aggies. The Aggies seem to recruit different guys. Do you think there's anything behind that?
Texas is still going to have their battles with Texas A&M. Of course, we've seen it a few times already this cycle. Of course, I think right now having that established relationship in the state of Texas with the way that Oklahoma has over the last few years is going to play into that factor as well. I'm actually surprised at how many battles Texas is having this cycle with LSU and whether or not that will be a continual trend in the SEC. I believe it will. Of course, you see those big-time prospects out of East Texas, out of the Houston area. They're starting to be a little bit more and more. Houston's coming back up on the ups a little bit. I know we've talked about the DFW dominance and where Texas has been in recent cycles coming in and snagging an Anthony Hill, a Colin Simmons, a Jonte Cook, et cetera, et cetera. That list goes on and on. But now you're starting to see LSU get more involved as Texas, you know, kind of peeks around in the state of Louisiana as well. It's getting a little bit tougher to walk back into Louisiana and grab some top guys. I don't think with this staff at the moment, Jerry, we'd have seen Texas go in and get a Derek Williams or guys along that lines. But, you know, they're trying. Aiden Anding, certainly someone Texas has a lot of interest in at the moment. James Simon has a commitment in 2 days as well, both from the state of Louisiana. But moving forward, that's a school I expect to see a little bit more competition with. Texas and LSU, maybe more so than what we've seen in recent years with Texas and Texas A&M.
Yeah, it'll be A&M, they've won a couple against Texas this year. Texas has won a couple against A&M as well. There's some big battles left that Michael Fasusi is going to be the name people point to because that really is Texas, A&M, and Oklahoma, right? But if you go Michael Terry, Oregon, Texas, A&M, right? You just go down this list of guys, Jonah Williams, A&M, Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma's not even going to get official visit. I think Texas probably will. Kalik Lockett, right? That's more of a Texas A&M, LSU type of battle right now. Obviously, Cade Phillips, Texas, LSU, Texas A&M. I think A&M's faded on him. Zion Williams, obviously A&M will get a visit from Texas, LSU, Texas A&M. That's kind of what you think about when you look at the Houston and East Texas kids, right? Those are the three schools. Lamont Rogers will visit A&M, Texas A&M, but watch out for Missouri there as a sleeper. Marco Jones from San Ramon and up in Danville, California, has official visits to Texas and Texas A&M, which is interesting as well. So there's some battles for sure. Texas A&M won out for Adonis Curry. Texas was never able to get him on campus. Texas beat A&M on Jackson Christian head up. They beat Oklahoma for obviously the two linemen, the Colemans. But here's two to keep track on. Cody Armstrong and Nick Townsend at tight end. I think Nick Townsend right now is more Alabama, Texas A&M third there. Visit USC this weekend with Tanook Hines, who Tanook Hines, the receiver from Decaney, may still visit Texas on the 21st through 23rd. Then there's Keyote Armstrong, who will visit LSU Auburn, but that's really going to be Texas or Texas A&M at the end of the day. DJ Sanders from Belleville will end up more than likely at A&M or Texas if they both push for him. We'll see what happens there. So that's the list. There's a lot of guys. Oh, A&M's trying to get Kelshawn Johnson in badly. They're trying to get him in for a visit. Texas obviously leads USC there right now. The Texas-Oklahoma battles, there are a few. There's always, as long as Texas is recruiting well in DFW, there's going to be some big battles between Texas and Oklahoma and DFW area. What's interesting to me is some of the big battles left in the DFW area for Texas. If you look at the Corey Moore, it's more Texas, Ohio State, and then it's the Rashad Samples up at Oregon is a big one there. So if you look at some of the battles left in DFW outside of Fasusi, maybe they're more national battles for Texas. But Texas and Texas A&M are going to go head to, in my estimation, are going to go head to head more in the future because they're going to be recruiting a lot of the same players. And that's on the offensive and that's on the defensive lines.
Before we move on to our final questions of the day, Jerry, I'm going to let you tell folks out there about John Donovan and Longhorn Wealth Management Group.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much to John Donovan, as always, president of Longhorn Wealth Management Group, for being the sponsor of Monday's Coffee and Football. Again, we'd like to thank him for his continued support. As a proud University of Texas alumni, John has served 15 years as a Texas X's board member while focusing his firm on serving his fellow University of Texas alumni and all University of Texas employees. John is a certified financial planner who has spent over 30 years providing investment, retirement, insurance, and estate planning services and solutions to the Longhorn family and all their friends across the nation. So to receive a free 90-minute consultation on how Longhorn Wealth can help you and your family secure your own financial future, simply call Longhorn Wealth Team at 972-707-4900 or schedule an appointment online at www.longhornwealth.net. Finally, on this Memorial Day, John wants to share his heartfelt thanks and remembrance for all those brave men and women who have sacrificed their lives to defend and protect the United States and provide the freedoms we're so blessed to have as Americans. God bless America and hook 'em. Thank you very much, John Donovan and the Longhorn Wealth Management team.
Okay, like I said, we got time for just a couple more questions here. And this first one from Mike G. He says, CJ and Jerry, do either of you think we take four wide receivers or four defensive tackles in this class? It seems like our wide receiver room has much more young talent.
I think Texas has gone back and forth on the 3 to 4 wide receivers. I think the correct, if it's the right four, the correct four, the four you really ideally want. Yeah, I don't think if there's four guys and they all said they wanted to come to Texas, I think Texas would have a hard time saying no. I think that's the key. Same on the defensive line. I think the D-line's more likely to take four if one's a more of a developmental guy, CJ. I don't think they're taking really developmental guys at wide receiver necessarily in this class. Everything's developmental, but 2 year stash and develop player. I don't think they're taking at wide receiver in this class.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, you look at who Texas is currently recruiting at the moment at the wide receiver spot. You know, these are all guys that could certainly figure their way onto the field immediately in their college careers. And, you know, it's kind of the trend in which we've seen Sarkisian approach. Of course, Jonte, now Ryan Wingo, some of these top-end guys. And you look at, of course, DeCorian Moore, Jamie French, Kalik Lockett, Kelshawn Johnson. These guys right now are all, you know, some of those top-end guys that could figure into that rotation early on. And when you think about who Texas will be departing with or who will be departing from Texas after this next season, Silas Bolden departing, Isaiah Bond likely to go to the NFL. Matthew Golden will have the opportunity at that point, having those top end guys kind of now become rotational pieces as true freshmen. It certainly makes sense to go out and add that extra guy at the wide receiver spot to get up to four so you can have a stash and play guy down the road if need be. Just maintaining bodies in that room, of course, maybe add another portal guy. We'll see. That's a problem for a year or two from now, but I could certainly see four guys if it's the right guy. And, you know, certainly with the way Texas is recruiting there, it's very, very often that you won't come across the wrong fit with Texas.
Hey, Blake, I wanted to read this one from Ryan Nelson. I think it's a great point. Instability in other programs have given us our best players, Kelvin Banks, Ant Hill, Phil Samee. I would add Derek Williams. I would, too, because Corey Raymond left LSU. Otherwise, that probably would have ended up differently, in my opinion. But I totally agree. And look, sometimes that's why the recruit through the whistle for Steve Sarkisian is so important. Think about back to the 2022 class. If Sark and Flood had gotten impatient and said, all right, we're going to the B list. We gotta juice up our offensive line numbers. We got to get four or five guys in the boat in this class. I mean, you're sitting there and after Mario Cristobal takes the Miami job, if you have four or five guys committed already, that means you're sitting there with a couple of spots left and Kelvin Banks and Cam Williams, DJ Campbell still hadn't decided, right? You knew you were probably going to get him. Neto still hadn't decided. That's why the Texas, the way they recruit, I think is the absolute correct way. And you should as a blue blood living in the portal day and age. Because if you miss, if you're a blue blood, you can go get somebody really good. I mean, it's just the reality of it. There's, like I've said before, there's, if your coach comes to the mic and said, we're inexperienced, you got the wrong coach, or he's looking at it the wrong way, it shouldn't happen anymore at these programs with the portal. But I totally agree. The coaching carousel has great benefit if you're prepared to make the most of it and you're a blue blood. There's no doubt that the change with Brian Kelly coming to LSU and him not retaining Corey Raymond, now he brought him back. I think he realized that may have been a mistake. Corey Raymond goes to Florida. That Corey Raymond probably realizes that may have been a mistake. They should have just made it work at LSU. But Corey Raymond comes back to LSU. What happens? Jabari Antoine immediately commits. One of his best friends is the coach at Westgate High. Corey Raymond has deep, deep ties. Him and Frank Wilson combined and makes it a little tougher on I-10 in Louisiana. I-20, Texas can still go have a lot of success. Then you look at the instability at A&M with Anthony Hill, absolutely helped. So Texas was in position to take advantage of those sometimes because Sark recruits through the whistle and he wasn't in a hurry to fill out a recruiting class sometimes with some B-list guys. I think that's been key for Sark at Texas, not backing off of that initial plan and recruiting.
All right, y'all. Our last one for today. Odin Horn says, sneaky feeling Jaden Blue's going to tear up the SEC. Now, my question to y'all is, what player over the next couple of seasons, offense or defense, do you feel like will really make their mark in the SEC? Who do you think will tear up the SEC, as obviously Odin Horn says Jaden Blue?
Well, that's a good one. If I can go maybe an under-the-radar prospect that will have a big impact for Texas, maybe not tear up the SEC in terms of the gaudy numbers that we see, you know, make an all-SEC conference list or anything like that, but I think Jordan Washington is going to have a heck of a career at Texas. And I think he's going to be that bridge from the passing game, that vertical attack that we see with the Texas tight ends versus obviously the physicality that he's been known to play with. As a basketball kid, making that transition, not the easiest thing to do. But I really like what he's shown early in his spring season as a Texas freshman. I think that there's going to be room for him to really, you know, kind of blossom in that role as a tight end. I see some comments saying Colton Vosick. Absolutely. I'm all the way on board with that one as well. But I'm going to go under the radar here. I think Jordan Washington is going to have a heck of a career for Texas. He can make a lot of noise in the SEC.
Yeah, I think Ryan Wingo was going to be an answer for me. I think he has the height, weight, speed, shiftiness for his size, and he's going to continue to add strength. That was one for me as well. Obviously, you know, look, Colin Simmons may be the most important guy for Texas moving forward because you have to have – Texas has to make a big step as far as the edge pass rush. But we're talking about under-the-radar guys or more maybe the guys that aren't talked about as much. And he's not talked about, but I'm going to stick on this one, Daniel Cruz.
Yep.
It's not very often that you get a center that may just be a difference maker, right? A true difference maker. Oklahoma had it with Creed Humphrey. If Texas can get that level with Daniel Cruz, and I used them both in the same sentence because Creed Humphrey, his arms aren't as long as you ideally want. He has short arms for his position, for his height. Daniel Cruz is the same, but I think Daniel Cruz has a chance to be a similar player. So Daniel Cruz, if you had an all-SEC, somewhere all-American level center, that would be huge, huge in the SEC for Texas.
All right, y'all. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football. We want to thank Longhorn Wealth Management Group and John Donovan, along with Omaha Steaks for sponsoring today's show. Thank you all for tuning in for the great questions, the super chats. Be sure to head on over to ontexasfootball.com for around-the-clock discussion and breaking news. Jerry, CJ, Bobby, all bringing the goods over there. So be sure to check that out if you haven't already. And then also, if you haven't already, we would definitely love for you to press that like and subscribe button. ring the bell so you're notified anytime that we post anything, go live, whatever it may be. So
I'm going to bring one last one in before we go. So I disagree with this. Okay. Not that he has a lot of great points on the show. Dorian Brewer always been the top guy. Texas loves Aiden Andy. Since they offered him, he's been a top guy. Cade Phillips, been a top guy. The question is, if they went out for all those guys, do they end up being top guys in 4 years? That's going to be the question. The one guy I think they've lost out on that they really wanted, that they really like, was Adonis Curry, who committed A&M at corner. But otherwise, their top choices are still there. The question is Texas's top choices going to be look like the top choices in 3 or 4 years? We'll see what happens.
Sure. All right. Well, for CJ Vogel and Jerry Hamilton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Happy Monday.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.